Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have Sheriff Joe Bags. Joe is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. On the program, we recap the Rams game against the Packers. Also, we talk about Joe's amazing experience that he had watching the Rams play at Lambeau Field, as well as experiencing Wisconsin culture. And of course, we discuss the Rams' next game on Christmas Day against the Denver Broncos and more. Plus, we preview Week 16 and Week 16's game picks for the most important games from Week 16 in the National Football League. And before we begin, we just like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. All right, let's get you caught up on the most important games from Week 15 in the National Football League. Thursday Night Football saw the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Seattle Seahawks. The Thursday Night Football matchup, the 49ers would go on to win 21-13. The Baltimore Ravens took on the Cleveland Browns in an AFC North showdown. The Browns would beat the Ravens 13-3. The Miami Dolphins took on the Buffalo Bills in a very great game in Orchard Park, New York, outside of Buffalo. Snow came in the middle of the fourth quarter. They added fuel to the fire for Buffalo. The Bills would beat the Dolphins 32-29. The Detroit Lions squared off against the New York Jets in a great game at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But Detroit would hold on to beat the New York Jets 20-17. The Tennessee Titans squared off against the Los Angeles Chargers. Good game out on the West Coast, but the Chargers would hold on to beat the Titans 17-14. The Cincinnati Bengals squared off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rough start for Joe Burrow and the Bengals, but Cincinnati would hold on to beat Tampa Bay 34-23. Sunday Night Football saw the New York Giants going up against the Washington Commanders in an NFC East rivalry game. Tough game, but the Giants would hold on to beat the Commanders. Final score, 20-12. Monday Night Football saw the Los Angeles Rams going up against the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers did just enough, but it was the running game, the combo of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, as Green Bay would go on to beat the L.A. Rams 24-12. And those were the scores from the most important games from Week 15 in the National Football League. Now it's time for my top three storylines. Matt Ryan. My goodness, Matt Ryan, for all of the highlights and all of the achievements that he's had in his career, we're talking about multiple Pro Bowls. We're talking about Offensive Rookie of the Year, not to mention an Offensive Player of the Year and winning the league's Valuable Player. For all of his achievements in his future Hall of Fame career, two things stand out in his career, and for all of the wrong reasons. Number one, 28-3. You know about it. Super Bowl 51 against the New England Patriots. Ryan, when he was the quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons, his team was up at one point 28-3, but they would lose that lead to the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, you know, James White scored the touchdown in overtime, giving the Patriots a 34-28 victory, considered to be one of the most historic downfalls in sports history. All right, so if to add insult to injury, Let's fast forward 6 years later. Matt Ryan, new team, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Again, his team, the Colts, have they led 33-0 at halftime. The second half, everything just went kaput. The Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, and the crew went on a tear in the second half. And it was so good that they wind up forcing the game into overtime, and the Vikings would come back to beat the Colts 39-36. So Matt Ryan was on the wrong side of history, not once, but twice. And with this Colts-Vikings game, it was given a new nickname, the Minneapolis Miracle 2. And also, too, this comeback was considered to be the largest comeback in NFL history. So with the Vikings having the largest comeback in NFL history with the game beating the Indianapolis Colts, the second largest, for those of you that may have not been around to witness this or may not know your history, the Buffalo Bills, Frank Reich, overcoming a 32-point deficit to beat the Houston Oilers in the 1992 wild card playoff game. Or then also, too, for my historians out there, the Denver Broncos overcame a 31-point deficit to tie the Buffalo Bills in the 1960 AFL regular season. But, man, that if you watch that Colts and Vikings game, I watched that game from start to finish. It was just an amazing comeback by Minnesota. Give Minnesota a lot of credit. Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, and the crew, I mean, that was just a hard-fought victory. Jeff Saturday, I don't know if he's going to be the permanent head coach for the Colts next year. I don't know what they're going to do with Matt Ryan as the quarterback for the Colts next year. I think he's got maybe a year or two more years left on the contract, but this has been a horrible year for him. And as I mentioned earlier, he's been on the wrong side of history, not once, but twice, 28-3 and now 33-0. I don't know, man. Matty Ice, he's got to get it together real soon, man, because if not, he's going to be looking for somewhere else to play, and it's not going to be good. And again, Matt Ryan, for all of the individual accomplishments that he's achieved so far in his career, the two things that stick out so far in his career, 28-3 and 33-0. My next storyline is going to be the Buffalo Bills. So the Buffalo Bills, man, they're in the middle of a five-game winning streak. What a game that was against the Miami Dolphins. Even though Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins did not win that game, hey, kudos to them because it was a hard-fought victory. In Miami, they hung with Buffalo. They were saying, well, they're coming down from South Florida, and it's sunshine and warm weather, and that it is. But to come to Western New York and hang with the Bills, and I mean, forget about snow, just frigid weather, fans show up and show out to support their team. One of the most diehard fan bases, not just in the NFL, but in all of professional sports. And the Buffalo Bills are just riding high right now. Again, Von Miller out for the season. However, so far so good, they haven't missed a beat. The Bills are in the middle of a five-game winning streak. And the last three games are going to be critical for, the remaining schedule for Buffalo appears to be winnable with the exception of the Cincinnati game. But overall, Buffalo starting to get hot at the right time again, because right now it's going to be a mad dash for the number one seed in the AFC between Buffalo, Kansas City, and of course Cincinnati is also in the mix of that as well. But Josh Allen, MVP candidate, Stephon Diggs looks good. Gabe Davis has been such an X factor for the Bills offense this year. People don't give enough credit to Gabe Davis, and also James Cook played nicely in the win over Miami last week. But for my last storyline is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on a two-game winning streak. The week before that, they beat the Tennessee Titans, and last week they beat the Dallas Cowboys in a thrilling overtime game. Trevor Lawrence is becoming the real deal. And Trevor Lawrence, a young quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, benefits tremendously from an offensive head coach such as Doug Peterson. We saw what Doug Peterson did in Philadelphia with Nick Foles. We know that turned out pretty well, got the Lombardi Trophy. And I think with Trevor Lawrence having a Doug Peterson, this is going to work out for many years to come. Again, Tennessee win, Trevor passed for over 300 yards. And in this game against the Dallas Cowboys, he also passed for over 300 yards and had multiple touchdown passes. And, of course, Travis Etienne, rushed for over 100 yards in this game against Dallas. So Jacksonville, they're in the hunt. Will Jacksonville make the playoffs this year? I don't know. Slim to none. But in the NFL, you never know. And Jacksonville, they've got a lot going for them right now. Again, they're in the midst of a winning streak. Trevor Lawrence is playing well. And we're seeing the benefits, again, of young players having an offensive head coach like a Doug Peterson. Again, Jacksonville is a small market. Jacksonville is a small market. But you've got to remember, for those that may not remember the heyday of the Jacksonville Jaguars, remember when the franchise first came into the NFL, Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith, those guys had some great seasons between the late 90s and even going into the early 2000s. And then there was a brief period when Jacksonville was winning in the late 2000s with Maurice Jones-Drew and David Garrard. But this Jacksonville Jaguars team has the potential of creating something special with the running backs, the wide receivers, their head coach, and, of course, their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who can definitely succeed in a quarterback league like the NFL. All right, those are my top three storylines. And when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Sheriff Joe Baggs. Joe is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. It's dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. On the program, we recap the Rams game against the Green Bay Packers. We also talk about Joe's experience watching the Rams play at Lambeau Field and experiencing Wisconsin culture. And, of course, we preview the Rams' next game on Christmas Day against the Denver Broncos and so much more. Joe is coming up after the break. But before we go to break, I have some sad news to pass along to you. Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris has passed away at the age of 72. Harris is best known for his career playing 13 seasons in the NFL Steelers. Of course, he played one season for the Seattle Seahawks, but he's best known for his run with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, being a part of those great Steelers teams during the 1970s, winning four Super Bowls, also multiple winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. He won NFL Man of the Year, also a member of the NFL 1970s All-Decade team. He was the MVP of Super Bowl IX, so Franco definitely a part of pro football history. And again, Franco Harris, man, one of those great guys, not just on the football side, but more importantly, on the human side as well. And again, our condolences are with Franco's family during this difficult time. And again, Franco Harris passing away at the age of 72, Hall of Fame running back, someone that was just a part of one of the greatest dynasties of all time and one of the great franchises, not just in the NFL, but in all of sports as well. So before we go to break, we have an awesome audio we'd like to play for you. This audio is courtesy of the National Football League, NBC Sports, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Immaculate Reception, which Franco was known for, and actually the anniversary is right around the corner for the Immaculate Reception. So here's Franco with the Immaculate Reception scoring the touchdown in the 1972 AFC Divisional Playoff game. And then Franco gives a speech at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Again, Franco Harris passes away at the age of 72. We'll be right back.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over. Look. Franco Harris. Grabbed the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with
While we were playing, we never knew what the future would bring. We were just trying to win the next game. We tried to give you the best we had each week. And by trying to give you the best each week, we never knew at that time that we were building a Steeler wing to the Hall of Fame. We never knew. But now you will always know that you saw the best. You will know because it says so right here in Canton for all to see. The Pittsburgh Steelers are here and here to stay. Remember, yes, we didn't know that at that time that we were building such a dream, but now the results are in. And any way you look at it, it is truly immeasurable and certainly unforgettable. Don't forget us. Good luck. God bless. Thank you very much. Don't forget us.
Energy and innovation. At ExxonMobil, we're producing both. Working to provide energy security today and developing lower emission fuels for tomorrow. Learn more at ExxonMobil.com/fuels.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.
Running a business comes with pressure. Remote workforces, HR compliance, attaining top talent. You start to feel boxed in. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30 plus years of HR service and technology to work, offering my employees competitive benefit options while lightening my HR load. Instead of obstacles, I'm surrounded by people empowered to be their best. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
There said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.
This winter, make the year's shortest days the most enjoyable in a Cadillac. Pursue your boldest ambitions in a Cadillac SUV. Or lead the way with the dynamic performance of a Cadillac sedan. So seize the season with a resolution to be iconic. Because when the days are at their shortest, it's on us to make them the fullest. Visit your local Cadillac dealer today.
33-yard drive by Matt Gay, and he's able to guide it through. Stay on the ground. Why not? Dillon pounding his way for a touchdown. Hit from 56 in pregame. Can he do it when it counts? Gay. Got it. Second and goal. Dillon again. He's in for the touchdown. Second of the night for A.J. Dillon. Second down and goal. Here is Jones out on the edge. Touchdown. Mayfield, end zone, pass caught, touchdown. That's Higbee.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, ESPN, ABC Sports, and the Walt Disney Company. That was highlights from Monday Night Football on December the 19th of 2022 between the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers. The Rams fell short to the Packers, final score 24-12. To talk more about that game, including the Rams' next game, which will be on Christmas Day against the Denver Broncos, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast, my main man, Sheriff Joe Baggs. Hey, Joe, welcome back, my man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Same here, my man. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us program. So the Rams fell short on Monday Night Football to the Green Bay Packers. What were your takeaways from the Rams' Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I got to be honest, man. I think the main thing that we saw out of that game was the Rams just couldn't match with the Packers' talent level. I think, like, game plans were – they looked okay to me. I still have not fully gone back and looked at the game. From my viewpoint, I was at the game. So from my viewpoint, we were kind of in the corner, so it's kind of hard to pick out certain aspects of it. But just kind of felt like the Rams were just a little bit outmatched. Baker Mayfield, like, to really – what I would say, no fault of his own. Like, he's brand new here. He doesn't really understand our offense. He's not really getting protection. He's dealing with a wide receiver group that is completely decimated. You know, no Cooper Kupp, no Allen Robinson. Ben Skowronek goes down. He's now out for the year. So, ultimately, it just kind of, I hate to say the term, like, lost season, but that's kind of what it feels like this year. So, I think this was just another example of that, just kind of getting a little outmatched. The Rams are just a little too beat up right now to really be able to compete. And credit to the Green Bay Packers. They came in with a solid game plan. It was a real chilly game, and I think they knew to take advantage of that, using both of those running backs against this Rams defense, and it worked for them.
Indeed, it did work for them, and you're absolutely right about that. It's been a tough year for the defending champion Los Angeles Rams. That Super Bowl hangover has definitely caught up with them this year, and we'll get more into that as well as the Rams' next game on Christmas against the Denver Broncos in just one moment. I want to start off with just with the Rams' offense and defense for a moment. I guess one of the few bright spots for the Rams' offense in the Monday night game against the Packers, Cam Akers, 5 yards, and he had 3 catches for 35 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Cam and his play against Green Bay.
You know, it's kind of crazy that Cam is even here. You know, earlier in the season, we thought that he was about to be waived or traded or anything. So the fact that he's still here is pretty awesome. And these last 3 games, really, he's been able to find holes. He's playing really well these last 3 games. And it seems like the Rams are right now near the bottom of the NFL in average rushing yards per game. But, I mean, Cam Akers is doing what he can to kind of increase those these last few weeks, but he's playing well, and hopefully he can stick around for a while. It seemed like he would be gone and going into to week 16. If you would have told me that Cam Akers is going to be here, but Daryl Henderson's not, I wouldn't have believed you. But here we are, and Cam's playing some good football, so it's good to see.
All right, and someone else that made a contribution on the offensive side, Tyler Higbee, 4 catches for 27 yards and a touchdown. It's been a tough year. Poor Tyler, he's battled his injuries as well. Just give me your thoughts on his play against Green Bay.
Yeah, it was really cool to see him get into the end zone. Not only do we see Baker Mayfield's 100th career touchdown pass, but that was actually Tyler Higbee scoring that touchdown. He is now tied for first all-time in Rams history for touchdowns by a tight end. So that was pretty cool to see, you know, in person in general, but then also watching what might be the best tight end in Rams history take the field and you know, tie that record. So this has probably been his most productive game all season. He always has kind of been He's had an impact his entire career, but it's never been an overwhelming impact. Like, he's never kind of exploded and had that, like, Cooper Kupp kind of style where he just is taking over a game. But I think he's reliable. This year we've seen his hands kind of he's had a few drops this year, which is unfortunate to see. But either way, he's one of the, like I said, one of the better tight ends this team has ever seen. Not a hard bar to clear in that regard. Rams are not known for their extensive tight end history, but yeah, it's cool to see him out there, man. He's still competing, and that's always good to see, especially when, you know, you fall to a 4-10 record and you see these guys still out there working. It's always nice.
Okay, and also someone that made his contribution felt on the offensive side, Van Jefferson, 2 catches for only 32 yards. Just your thoughts on Van's play against Green Bay.
Against Green Bay, obviously, not a massive amount of production, but when, you know, your quarterback only has 111 passing yards, obviously, it's no one really exploded in the receiving area. But, you know, Van's a good player, and, like, getting that touchdown against the Raiders in primetime last week was good to see. And I just don't know if he's got any real, like, connection yet with Baker Mayfield. So maybe that'll happen in these last 3 games, but I don't know how necessarily important that is, considering I don't anticipate Baker Mayfield being on this roster next year. But Van Jefferson, again, another guy who's just out there kind of working, and he's dealt with a lot of stuff this year too. These are only his first handful of games that he's playing in right now, so kind of just getting back into that mode still, I think. But his attitude towards the game is great. His motivations are awesome, and he's a fun player to watch. And I really hope that he sticks around for a long time.
All right, I want to move over now to the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Donald did not play in this game due to an injury. However, several key players made a big difference on the defensive side. Leonard Floyd had 2 sacks. Gray Gaines had a sack. And Taylor Rapp had an interception. Just give me your thoughts on Leonard, Greg.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd, it's good to see him out there still getting it done, especially with Aaron Donald being out, like you said. I mean, obviously, Aaron Donald, he gets so much attention from the offense that when he's out, that it's more difficult for everybody else now to get after the quarterback, because that's a big-name player that you no longer need to worry about coming after your quarterback. So Leonard Floyd getting in there, man, he's kind of been pretty consistent his entire time with the Rams. So seeing him get 2 sacks on Rodgers, that's obviously awesome. Greg Gaines, awesome player there in the middle, and he just continues to get better and better. It seems like every week he's just a little bit better. So hopefully that trend continues. And Taylor Rapp, ultimately been an underwhelming player in his time with the Rams. He kind of has those splash plays here and there, but I would say overall he tends to struggle in coverage. But, yeah, it was nice to see him get that pick. The way that play unfolded, it was kind of coming right towards us, and you see the player, the Packers player, wide open, and Rodgers just missed him, plain and simple. He just overthrew it, and Taylor Rapp was able to get behind there and snag it and get a little bit of a return out of it. So obviously that was great, but when you get the injuries in the secondary as well with guys like Jordan Fuller out, maybe if Fuller can get in there too. I mean, that's kind of digging into the weeds a little bit about, you know, future stuff, but it was cool to see Taylor Rapp get an interception, and hopefully he keeps progressing. We just haven't seen a lot of progression out of him in his career.
All right, and you mentioned his name earlier, Baker Mayfield. Baker, less than 2 weeks ago, he had the game-winning touchdown over the Las Vegas Raiders on Thursday Night Football, and that was, I guess you could say, that was a statement game for Baker. Well, against the Green Bay Packers, they would fall short by 2 touchdowns. He finished the game completing 12 out of 21 passes for 111 yards, a touchdown pass, and an interception. Give me your thoughts on Baker's play against the Packers.
Hard to really put any blame onto Baker Mayfield, simply because, like I said, he doesn't have a lot of time back there. He's throwing to essentially what is a preseason starting lineup for our wide receivers, you know, with no Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. So obviously starters, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell's getting a lot of action right now with those injuries. So hard to put any blame onto Baker for this game. Like I said, he's brand new. It kind of feels like these last few games, it's Baker's kind of, you know, he's building his a short little resume for the rest of the NFL, because I don't anticipate him coming back. So he was just not enough time. The wide receiver's not really getting a lot of separation. So for all the circumstances, I think Baker played fine. I genuinely do. I don't think that he did anything that you kind of look at him specifically and you're like, man, what are you thinking? What a bonehead play. There was none of that. So I think he's doing what he can in the circumstances. But the injuries that this Rams offense has seen, I mean, obviously, when I was planning my trip out to Lambeau with my buddy, if you would have told me that Baker Mayfield was going to be the starting quarterback, I would have probably laughed at you. But here we are, fourth different quarterback that the Rams have started this season. And I think he's doing his best with what he's got available to him right now.
I want to stay with Baker for a moment. So last year he was under the offense with the Cleveland Browns with Kevin Stefanski. And then, of course, earlier in the year, being in Carolina, learning Matt Rule's playbook, and then he asked for his release. Now he's with the Rams, learning Sean McVay's offense. I wanted to ask you, Joe, have you heard anything in terms of what Baker has said in terms of the differences of learning the differences between Cleveland's offense as opposed to Carolina and Los Angeles's offense?
You know, I haven't really yet. I would assume that once he really understands the playbook and is fully into it, I know that he's had that time, you know, Thursday to Monday with a big window in there to kind of sit down and really dig into the playbook was beneficial, but I don't think he really knows this offense quite yet. Many people talk about that it takes a while to really truly understand the Sean McVay offense and what he's trying to accomplish with it, and that's why we don't see a lot of really young wide receivers play in this offense. That's kind of been a standard that they don't really get a lot of time early on. But Baker, so far, we haven't really heard anything about that, but it can't be a detriment, obviously, playing with a guy like Sean McVay, who's got a really strong offensive mind. I know some people will comment on, you know, the different production levels that have hit this season and stuff, but I again, will point to the injuries, and I don't want to say that as an excuse or anything, but I mean, when you look at the list of guys on IR for the Rams offense, it's pretty rough. But for Baker Mayfield specifically, obviously playing under Sean McVay can't hurt him, but we haven't really heard necessarily about the differences and what that has done for his play right now in this season.
All right, I just want to stay again with the quarterback situation. You said that you don't see Baker Mayfield being a part of the Los Angeles Rams next season. Recently, Matthew Stafford said on his wife's podcast that he has no plans of retiring anytime soon, even though he has he's been battling an injury, battling a spinal cord contusion. Last time I had you on, we talked about the elbow injury and how that may have affected Stafford's play throughout much of the year. How long do you see Matthew being the quarterback for the Rams?
You know, honestly, I feel like if we can get another 2 or 3 years out of him, that's a win. I don't know if I really expected him to retire this upcoming offseason. I know that rumor kind of has bounced around and there's been different people talking about that. But every time you would kind of dig into those articles and those stories, there was really no basis for it. It wasn't any comment. It was really just speculation. Like, he's hurt and he's getting older, so what if he calls it, kind of thing. So I don't know if I ever was anticipating that he would actually retire. So the fact that this story of him saying on his wife's podcast the morning after that he wasn't retiring, that made decently big news. I was actually surprised by that part of it because, like I said, I don't think that was actually part of what he was thinking. And even still, if that question is asked to an NFL player going into week 16, I don't know anybody that would say, yes, I'm going to retire after this season. So maybe that is still the plan. Maybe we will see him retire, but I don't think anybody would have answered yes to that question. So, yes, some injuries that he's dealing with, but I would anticipate that he does return to the Rams, and I would anticipate that is at least a couple more seasons out of Matthew Stafford, while Baker Mayfield right now I would feel like is just kind of showing the rest of the league that he can maybe still get it done, with obviously not ending super well in Cleveland, and then how it ended in Carolina as well, him just kind of wanting to get out of there. So I think it is his chance to show the rest of the league that he can still be a quarterback in the NFL.
All right. And you had the opportunity, as you mentioned, you and a buddy of yours had the opportunity to go to one of the premier stadiums, not just in the NFL, but in all the professional sports, and that's Lambeau Field. And, you know, looking at Lambeau, it seems like one of those legendary venues to watch a football game. What was the experience like watching a game at Lambeau Field?
Man, it's hard to put it into words. That place is history, man. It's, you know, you're looking down at that field, and me being the football fan that I am, yes, I'm a Rams fan, but I'm a big football fan. Thinking of the different names that have played on that field, even going back to some of the old Rams names, you know, Deacon Jones has played there, and, you know, stuff like that. The list can definitely go on of players, but to see that atmosphere in December in prime time as Monday Night Football, every single person we ran into was unbelievable. The hospitality there was great. No problems with a single person. It's hard to put into words. So that was a great experience.
They say that Lambeau Field is one of the names, the nicknames for Lambeau Field is the Frozen Tundra. Was it really, was the tundra really frozen?
Oh, it was frozen, all right. It's like a high of 16 that day. We got some snow flurries popping in about halftime, which was really nice. We did the stadium tour the night before, so that was snowing for that, which was really cool to see. Just that atmosphere was unbelievable. 16 degrees, man. It was definitely the coldest NFL game that I've been to. Rams and Broncos 2018 in Denver, that was about 20 degrees, so chilly for that one as well. Still say the coldest game I went to is actually an Air Force Falcons football game, but it was frozen, it was cold, but we were fine. We were a couple of Colorado boys out there, so it wasn't terrible.
And I just want to stay with Green Bay for a moment. I know Wisconsin has their take on different types of food. Did you have an opportunity to eat any Wisconsin style food or eat anything that was interesting, maybe at a tailgate or just at the concessions at the Packers game?
Well, we actually, after the tour the night before, we went over to Kroll's East because Kroll's West was about to close. And then went over there, had a brat. It was absolutely unbelievable. Great people there as well. And then tailgating, we were kind of walking around and ran into a couple of guys that seemed friendly enough. And so we stopped to hang out with them. And they were making some brats and had that. They had, like, the good, you know, the sautéed onions and mushrooms on it and everything. It was unbelievable, man. Oh, also tried cheese curds for the first time, and they are as delicious as they say. So yeah, it was quite the experience, man.
I want to ask you, what do cheese curds taste like to you? Because I see them on television. It looks like tater tots almost. What do they taste like?
Man, it's really interesting. It's almost like gosh, I feel like somebody from Wisconsin is going to hate my description, but it's almost like a miniature, like, mozzarella stick almost, maybe. Like, it's the cheese in there is real, real chewy. It kind of, like, squeaks a little on your teeth. So it is that's what I would say it's the closest to, is maybe a mozzarella stick, but almost like a condensed version of it. So I don't know. It's hard to explain, but you definitely got to try it, especially out in Wisconsin, in Green Bay. That's the place to try it for the first time, I'd say.
Well, I tell you one thing. You and your buddy definitely experience of trying some Wisconsin food and, of course, experiencing Lambeau Field. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And the Los Angeles Rams going up against the Denver Broncos, they're going to be home in Southern California, in Inglewood. They won't be in Green Bay or any cold temperatures. They're going to be going up against the Denver Broncos. So let's start off with the Rams defense for a moment. Aaron Donald may be back for this game, but let's say he will be back for this game. The Rams defense are going to be going up against a Bronco offense that, let's just say, hasn't been cooking really all year. We know about the troubles of Russell Wilson, have not lived up to expectations. So, Joe, in your opinion, what do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Rams defense to get to the Broncos offense?
If Aaron Donald could be back, that would be quite the addition back to this Rams defense. Obviously, Bobby Wagner's playing well, Jalen Ramsey's playing well, but to have those all of the superstars on defense available to us is obviously great. There's no quarterback that Aaron Donald has sacked more than Russell Wilson, so that'd be pretty sweet to keep on adding to that list. But it's really going to be getting in the face of Russell Wilson. He's not running as much this year that we've seen him in previous seasons. So it's a little bit of a different Russell Wilson than the Rams are used to seeing. Of course, we are used to seeing him twice a year. So he leaves Seattle, and we still get to see him at SoFi, so that's pretty cool. But obviously, there's still some talented receivers for the Denver offense as well. But schematically, it kind of feels like you just got to get after Russ and get in the face of the quarterback. And if it happens to be, you know, Rippon getting any snaps at all, same thing. Just got to get in their face. And hopefully this Rams defense, which has not really been as aggressive this season, kind of playing a lot back and maybe blitzing a little bit less here and there. This would be a perfect game to get after him. And for the first ever time that the Rams are playing on a Christmas Day game. So, got to show out a little bit on the defensive side and just get after the quarterback.
All right, let's switch over to the other side of the ball, Rams offense. We know Denver's defense now, for all of the problems that Denver has had on the offensive side, Denver's defense has been stellar this year. Justin Simmons has been one of the bright spots on the Denver defense. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Rams offense to get points on Denver's defense?
There's really the same thing that I've kind of said for the last two or three games, really, considering all the injuries and the situation that this Rams offense is in right now, is try to get it to third and short and convert. That's kind of what we're looking at right now. Instead of sitting at third and eight trying to find some space, we got to really just be, you know, third and two and at least allow the option of maybe running the football there. With Cam Akers playing well these last few weeks, that's really going to be the key. Just try to keep their offense off the field, just keep it moving, keep our defense fresh and rested, slowly kind of get the ball down the field, matriculate, as you will. So just get to third and short and convert. That is my biggest key for this game.
All right, so that sets the stage for a big one on Christmas Day between the Los Angeles Rams and the Denver Broncos. Should be an interesting one at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. You heard it from him, Sheriff Joe Bags. He's the host of the Rams Showcase podcast. Well, Joe, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Rams Showcase.
Yeah, Rams Showcase still going strong. Of course, there's been the bad season has kind of led to some interesting new topics this season of talking about maybe not F them picks so much. Maybe we could use a couple more. But other than that, man, you can follow Rams Showcase at Rams Showcase. That's just about everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. It's just search Rams Showcase there. And I am at Sheriff Joe Bags also just about everywhere, man. Great to talk to you again, man, always.
Same here, man. Thanks again. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, you know, food and football go hand in hand, and you experienced the food experience where you and your buddy had a chance to experience the food of Wisconsin being at Lambeau Field. But whenever you get an opportunity to get to a Rams game, or even if you're in the privacy of your own home, what are some of your favorite foods that you enjoy, be it at Rams games or just watching a Rams game?
You know, it's I don't sit down during Rams games, so I like to have something that is not going to be super messy. I like to clap. I like to high five. So wings are actually not on my plate ever during an actual Rams game because I'm too mobile for that. I don't want to be wiping off my hands before I high five for something. So I tend to go with something a little more cleaner, maybe even just a regular sandwich, something like that. I love a good Italian sub. We'll go with some French fries. In L.A. at SoFi Stadium, easily the best thing that I had there was we had this Korean barbecue that was last December we went out there and that place there. I can't even remember the name of it. I don't even remember really what I had. It was a great day. It was a long day. It was a fun one. But, yeah, the Korean barbecue at SoFi Stadium was unbelievable. But you got to go something that, like I said, that doesn't get all over you, doesn't get all over your hands so that you can clap and high five as needed.
Awesome. I love it. And one more time, Joe, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Rams Showcase and any websites you want to promote. Let them know that as well.
Yeah, I am at Sheriff Joe Bags. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. At Rams Showcase is where you can follow the show itself. That's also, again, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Rams Showcase on YouTube. And still have that deal with FanSided. So every page on RamblinFan.com, you can listen to Rams Showcase. It's embedded right in every article.
All right. You heard it from him. He is Sheriff Joe Bags. He is the host of the Rams Showcase podcast, giving you all of the information needed to keep you informed about the NFL's Los Angeles Rams. Joe, thank you so much once again, my man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more right after this.
33-yard drive by Matt Gay, and he's able to guide it through. Stay on the ground. Why not? Dillon pounding his way for a touchdown. Hit from 56 in pregame. Can he do it when it counts? Gay. Got it. Second and goal. Dillon again. He's in for the touchdown. Second of the night for A.J. Dillon. Second down and goal. Here is Jones out on the edge. Touchdown. Mayfield, end zone, pass caught, touchdown. That's Higbee.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.
As a parent, no 2 days are ever the same. At Care.com, you can find trusted and flexible sitters to help manage your family's ever-changing schedule. Care.com can even help you out with housekeepers, dog walkers, senior caregivers, and more. So you can find care for all you love. And 100% of caregivers who use Care.com have been background checked with CareCheck, a key first step in hiring confidently. To get the help you need to make it all work, sign up now and find a great sitter at Care.com.
What's good for your heart? Nutritious, delicious, and blue all over. We call it a boost of blue. Blueberries are heart healthy and packed with flavor and nutrients like fiber and vitamin C that can give you a lift all day long. So call it whatever you like. Just remember to grab a boost of blue.
They said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Sheriff Joe Bags, host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. Again, a big special thank you to him for coming on the program, giving us the current 411 with the Los Angeles Rams, of course, sharing his experience watching the Rams play on Monday night at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, and also giving us the preview for the Christmas Day game against the Denver Broncos. All right, let's do this, everybody. Now it's time for Week 16's most important games. Thursday night football, the Jacksonville Jaguars square off against the New York Jets. First for the Jets, the Meadowlands in New Jersey last week to the Detroit Lions. Of course, Zach Wilson came in and got the start in place of the injured Mike White. We don't know if White is going to be ready to go for this game, battling a rib injury. Zach looked good in last week's game against the Lions. I think Zach is going to give it another go in this game against Jacksonville for Thursday night. Now, as far as the Jaguars are concerned, they are riding a high right now. They're in the middle of a two-game winning streak. Trevor Lawrence is looking really good. The rest of the team is on point right now after pulling off the upset victory over the Dallas Cowboys in overtime last week. So we're going to have a showcase of the young quarterbacks for Thursday night football at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We've got Trevor Lawrence. We've got Zach Wilson. If you look, I looked at this game at the beginning of the year, and I was like, just another Thursday night game. But this game has a lot of significance because for the Jets, they're fighting to stay alive in the wild card playoff race. And so are the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are fighting for a playoff spot. The Jets are fighting for a playoff spot as well. And also Zach Wilson is fighting for his future as the quarterback of the New York Jets. So there's so much at stake for an interesting game on Thursday night football between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets. The next most important game for Week 16 is the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. First for the Seahawks, Seattle, the week before that, Seattle had they lost a tough one last week on Thursday night football to their rival in the NFC West, the San Francisco 49ers. And it doesn't get any easier because they have to go to Arrowhead to take on that force of an offense led by Mr. Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position. You've got also Travis Kelce. You've got Mecole Hardman. There's Juju Smith-Schuster. Isaiah Pacheco has been really good, the rookie out of Rutgers. And then Jerick McKinnon has played nicely as well. So you've got that crowd at Arrowhead, one of the best in the NFL. And Seattle, they're used to the noise, playing at one of the best venues in the league at Lumen Field in Seattle. But Geno Smith and company, they've got to get it together if they want to stay to get a wild card spot in the NFC. This is a must-win game for Seattle. They're going to give everything that they have in this contest. I know Tyler Lockett's going to be ready. DK Metcalf is going to be ready for this game as well. So the Seahawks and the Chiefs are going to be, it's going to be a ferocious one at Arrowhead Stadium. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Foxborough, Massachusetts to take on the New England Patriots. First for New England, man, you talk about one of the craziest endings in not just NFL history, but in all of sports. Attempting a lateral pass, it gets picked up by Chandler Jones for the Raiders, and then he gives Patriots quarterback Mac Jones a stiff arm, and I'm like, man, that has been on many highlight shows and many highlight reels all over the internet and all over television this past week and a half. So the Patriots lose in one of the most weird ways that you can lose, not just a football game, but just a sporting event, period. Patriots, they try to get that bad taste out of their mouth, and it doesn't get easier because they're going up against a red-hot Cincinnati Bengals team that took care of Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. Joe Burrow, his team, he's getting hot at the right time. The Bengals are just getting hot at the right time. Jamar Chase is playing well, coming back from the injury. Tyler Boyd has looked great. T. Higgins has looked great as well. Everybody is clicking at the right time. And this is similar to last year when Cincinnati went on that Super Bowl run right around late November, right around Thanksgiving. They got hot and they went on a winning streak, of course, going to the AFC Championship and later playing in the Super Bowl. So you've got Joe Burrow going up against Mac Jones. Cincinnati and New England should be a fun one in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. We have the New York Giants going up against the Minnesota Vikings. First for the Vikings, the Minneapolis Miracle number two. They engineered the greatest comeback in NFL history. They were down 33-0 at halftime. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Matt Ryan on the wrong side of history again in his career, losing that lead, the Indianapolis Colts losing that lead, Jeff Saturday, I don't know what his future holds at the end of the year, but they lost that lead. And give credit to Minnesota for staying with it and not giving up. Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, and of course, the all-world, all-talented Justin Jefferson making plays when it mattered the most. So you've got Minnesota riding a high, playing a home game against the New York Giants. Again, the NFC least? No, this is the NFC East this year, and the Giants had a tough but impressive victory over their NFC East rival, Washington Commanders, on last Sunday on a Sunday Night Football. So Daniel Jones played a solid game. Saquon Barkley, this is a contract year for him. He wants to be in New York, so he's definitely proving that he's worth the money. He's definitely proving that he wants to be the franchise running back, franchise player for the New York Giants. And defensively, the Giants played well last week. Kayvon Thibodeau, an all-world defensive end, the rookie out of Oregon, making big plays for the G-men against Washington. So this is going to be an interesting game. The Giants, hard-nosed team, solid defense, can run the ball going up against a team that defensively is good, but it's all about their offense, particularly with Cousins and Jefferson. So Giants and Vikings should be a good one in Minneapolis. The NFC East rivalry game, the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Dallas Cowboys. First for Philadelphia, Coach Nick Sirianni has not ruled out Jalen Hurts to start in this game. Jalen hurt his shoulder in the game against the Chicago Bears last week. Had an effective game and a tough victory over the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago. Philadelphia, of course, you know about the guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, all of those guys playing well on the offensive side as well as the defensive side. So while Philly is coming off the win over the Chicago Bears, Dallas lost a tough one last week to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dak Prescott did everything in his power to try to help his team win the game. They fell short. However, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, probably one of the best 1-2 punch running combinations in the NFL. They had a game for the ages despite losing in overtime last week to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So this is an important game for Philly and even an important game for Dallas, because remember, the NFC East is on the line, and there's a lot to be played for in this contest. I mean, Jalen Hurts, most likely it looks like Jalen's going to be able to play. And then you've got Dallas that's right behind Philly. They're trying to catch them, and this is an important victory. This is an important game for both teams. Eagles, Cowboys, you know the history of this rivalry, the names, the faces, the characters. If you don't believe me, look it up on the internet. I mean, this rivalry, similar to Eagles, similar to Giants, New York, Washington, also Washington, Philly, well, Dallas, Washington, and then Dallas and Philly. I mean, it adds to that Cowboy rivalry, Cowboy-Eagles rivalry. This time they're going to be playing in Jerry World. It should be a lot of fireworks in this contest between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Christmas Day, the Green Bay Packers squared off against the Miami Dolphins. Let's start off with Miami for a moment. Miami's been going through has been going through some changes the last several weeks. They're in the midst of a losing streak. They did hang with Buffalo in the cold weather, in the snow, but you don't win games on brownie points. You don't win games based on effort. A win is a win, and a loss is a loss. And Green Bay has got to turn it around. Miami has got to turn it around on Christmas Day. So if they want to have some stocking stuffers and if they really want to, I'm sure that they're asking Santa for a victory over Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. As for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, not a good game, but a decent game. He did enough to hold, to put his team over the hump to give them the victory. But give credit to the defense and also to the running game with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And, of course, their receivers made plays when necessary with the likes of Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, and, of course, Randall Cobb. So we've got a good one on Christmas Day with the Green Bay Packers going up against the Miami Dolphins. They won't be playing at Lambeau Field. I tell you that. They're going to be playing in Miami. Sunshine, warm for Christmas. Got to love it. And a lot of Packer fans will be in Miami because that franchise, that their fans travel well, no matter where the games will be, where the road games are at, whether it be rain, sleet, snow, hail, north, south, east, west, it doesn't matter. Their fans travel well. So Packers versus Dolphins, going to be an exciting one. Christmas night, Sunday night football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals, of course, you know about the changes that they've been through at the quarterback position. Kyler Murray done for the year, tearing his ACL 2 weeks ago against the New England Patriots. And then last week, the Cardinals lose to the Denver Broncos. Of course, the Broncos didn't have Russell Wilson for this game, but Denver, they fought hard, beat Arizona. Arizona fought as hard as they could, and they fell short in that loss to Denver. However, the Cardinals starting quarterback for this game will be Trace McSorley. So Trace will get an opportunity to start against the GOAT, TB12, Tom Brady. The Buccaneers had a comfortable first-half lead against Cincinnati, and let's just say they dropped the ball, and Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they never looked back, and they wound up winning the game. So this is an important game for Tampa Bay. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers head coach Bowles, I know they were asking Santa to get them a victory over the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm sure that wish, hopefully Tom has got to do his part, but also his other teammates, they have to do their part as well. They've been hampered by injuries all season long, so I'm sure that this would be a perfect Christmas gift for them to get a victory out in the desert. Should be an interesting one between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Arizona Cardinals. Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Chargers square off against the Indianapolis Colts. First for the Colts, you talk about being on the wrong side of history. 33-0 was their lead at halftime against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, you don't win games in the first half. Remember, two halves, four quarters, and they got the job done in the first half, but let's just say they let Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen and the rest of the crew come back on them, and can't forget about K.J. Osborne as well to help them, to help. They would wind up losing that comfortable 33-0 lead at halftime to have them lose to the Vikings in overtime, 39-36. It's just been a train wreck of a year for Indianapolis with the quarterback situation with Matt Ryan and then the head coaching carousel, Frank Reich, fired midseason. Jeff Saturday is the interim head coach. Only coaching experience he had was a few years at the high school level, and then Jonathan Taylor is going to be out for the remainder of the year. Their all-world, the league's leading rusher last year, he suffered a high ankle sprain, so he's going to be out for the remainder of the year. So while the Colts are just a train wreck, well, I can't say waiting to happen, but the train continues to derail for Indianapolis. The Los Angeles Chargers are in the mix of things in the playoff race in the AFC. Justin Herbert, one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. Justin handled his business, got his team in field goal range, and was able to beat Tennessee thanks to a last-second field goal. And the Chargers offensively are just clicking on all cylinders right now, but they've got Justin Herbert. They got that. He's one of the premier young talents in the NFL. And on Monday night, the Chargers are going to bring their magic to the Midwest, and this is going to be a lot. Let's just say this is going to be a game where it's going to be a lot of offense scored in this game with Herbert and Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, just to name a few. So we got the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Indianapolis Colts on Monday night. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the New York Giants versus the Minnesota Vikings. When you think of the Giants and the Vikings, you think of two proud franchises that have been in the National Football League for a long time. When you think of the Minnesota Vikings, you think of Fran Tarkenton. Of course, you think of the Purple People Eaters, that great defense. You also think of some great players like Randall Cunningham. Of course, you can't forget about Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper, Robert Smith, John Randall. Gosh, there's just so many names from the Vikings. Warren Moon, Chris Carter. Hey, all he does is catch touchdowns, right? So the Vikings, a great history, great pedigree with the Minnesota Vikings. And you think about the New York Giants with names like Phil Simms, Joe Morris, LT, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, Michael Strahan, Brandon Jacobs, Eli Manning, Plaxico Burress, Amani Toomer, Jeremy Shockey, just to name a few. I mean, these two franchises have been in the forefront of the NFL for so many decades. And this game could be an interesting game right here at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. For the Giants and the Vikings, we have Daniel Jones, who's improved tremendously this year thanks to first-year head coach Brian Daboll. Saquon Barkley had some good games the last couple of weeks. It's a contract year for him, so we know what's on his mind getting the new contract and wanting to stay with the Giants for the next 5 to 10 years. And then that Giants defense led by Kayvon Thibodeau and also Azeez Ojulari, the Giants have been making some key plays, and they're going to have to make some key plays against an offense that has been one of the best in the league this year. Kirk Cousins at the quarterback position, Adam Thielen at wide receiver, K.J. Osborne at wide receiver, Dalvin Cook at running back, and of course, Justin Jefferson. I mean, what can you say about him? So explosive, so dynamic, and so talented. I mean, I'm sure defensive coordinators have had fits trying to come up with a game plan to defend him. So you got the New York Giants, you've got Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, just to name a few, and you got the Minnesota Vikings with their stars, Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, K.J. Osborne, and Justin Jefferson. It should be a great one in Minneapolis. The New York Giants versus the Minnesota Vikings, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I'm going to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 16's most important games in the NFL. Thursday Night Football, the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the New York Jets. I like Jacksonville to win. The Seattle Seahawks versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I like Kansas City to win. The Cincinnati Bengals versus the New England Patriots. I like Cincinnati to win. My game of the week, the New York Giants versus the Minnesota Vikings. I like Minnesota to win that game. The Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys. I like Philadelphia to win that game. Christmas Day action. The Green Bay Packers versus the Miami Dolphins. I like Green Bay to win that game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Arizona Cardinals Christmas night, Sunday night football. I like Tampa Bay to win that game. Monday night football, the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Indianapolis Colts. I think Justin Herbert is going to have a game for the ages. The stats will go through the roof for this game, the Los Angeles Chargers, to win that game. So, again, my winners for Week 16's most important games in the NFL are Jacksonville, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, L.A. Chargers. There you have it, and that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Sheriff Joe Baggs, host of the Rams Showcase podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Los Angeles Rams content. Again, a big special thank you to him for giving us the current 411 on what's going on with the Los Angeles Rams. Tough year for the Rams, but hopefully they can end the year on a brighter note. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound. And we want to leave you now once again with a tribute to former Pittsburgh Steelers running back Franco Harris. Again, he passed away at the age of 72. Audio is going to be the Immaculate Reception, courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports. And the second audio is courtesy of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, with Franco giving his Hall of Fame speech and his closing statements. Until next time, everybody, so long.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over. Look! Franco Harris grabbed the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored.
While we were playing, we never knew what the future would bring. We were just trying to win the next game. We tried to give you the best we had each week. And by trying to give you the best each week, we never knew at that time that we were building a Steeler wing to the Hall of Fame. We never knew. But now you will always know that you saw the best. You will know because it says so right here in Canton for all to see. The Pittsburgh Steelers are here and here to stay. Remember, yes, we didn't know that at that time that we were building such a dream. But now the results are in. And any way you look at it, it is truly immeasurable and certainly unforgettable. Don't forget us. Good luck. God bless. Thank you very much. Don't forget us.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon.
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich smoked sausage. You do you.